21. You've been great. You really have. You know, I feel like, really, I've only preached you one time, and these guys have kind of sung, you know, two, and I'm up the bat twice now. And by the way, if you see red on my pants, I thought the boxing gloves did it, and then I realized this rope got me. I tell a story in one of my messages back 15 years ago. There was a thing where, literally, I use the story as an illustration. Jess heard it. One of the kids in our youth group, they had a thing where if you put, they put purple and red dye in the public pools, and if you use the restroom in the pool, then it would tell on you and make a cloud around it. They did that 15 years ago. And I use that with Andrew McCollum or whatever. I just want you to know I wasn't in a pool, okay? And the red dye didn't come out, and it came off that rope. And but, you know, you've been great. I really feel like we've been here longer than, you know, just a few hours. And I feel like you're all listening well, responding well, and you're a great crowd, really. I hope you're not, you know, messing around. And I'll tell you this, I was just praying about it, and I didn't feel a green light from the Lord, but just thinking about good music, I almost just switched and thought, I'll preach a message on music. I don't even have any notes with me, but I'm going to go ahead and go down this path. I feel a strong leadership from the Lord. But I will say this, I have a book out in the vestibule, only one to teenagers, most of mine are to youth workers. It's $5. It'd be the best $5 if you ever want to know what's wrong with rock music. And it gives you practical common sense points. It's practical common sense. I just made some enemies, right? Just mentioning that, didn't I? Just kind of, I felt it. But, you know, what's wrong with rock music or country music or rap music for that matter or contemporary, you know? I won't address it, but I will say this. That book addresses from personal testimonies. You'll know what's wrong with it. From a practical common sense, just having a brain, you know, you'll know what's wrong with it. But here's a big question. What does the Bible have to say about it? Well, from passages of Scripture, many passages of Scripture deal with music. And I don't have time to deal with that, but if you get that book, I believe it could be a help to you if you're not afraid to get it, okay? And so here we go, Proverbs 10:1. Stand with me, please, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Give you a chance to get a little stretch in here too. Afternoon, man. This is a tough one. Now you had lunch and had those hot dogs, you know. And so here we go. All right, very simple. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon: A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. Let's read it again. Here we go. The Proverbs of Solomon. Here it is. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. And I'm going to speak to you on this subject today, making or breaking your parents. Making or breaking your parents. And let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, God, that you would, in fact, take this message, dear Lord, and melt it into our hearts, burn it into our hearts. And Lord, there's a lot of important, man, the Bible, so it's inexhaustible, and so many subjects with young people we could preach on, and yet I only have two or three messages to address things, but yet, God, I don't know if I'll preach a more important message, and this is where they live right now. I pray tonight, today, that you would open the hearts of any young person here, perhaps, that's just kind of been resistant against their parents. The next level, perhaps, rebellious against their mom or dad. The one that they conceived and brought them into this world to be born. I pray that you'd help them to realize the love that you have for them, as well as the love their parents have for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The most important relationship you have on this earth, besides your relationship to God through Jesus Christ, is that of your parents. You may not think it is, though I think this. In your heart of hearts, when you get down to it, if you really look in your heart, you would admit and know that your mom and dad truly are the most important people in your life. I'll tell you this. You may have a girlfriend, you may have a boyfriend, you may have a best friend. But let me tell you who's going to be with you when it comes down to desperate times and you're in the hospital, you're on your deathbed, you've been in a car wreck, you got in trouble, you're in juvenile center. Let me tell you who's going to be there 24/7. It's going to be your mom, it's going to be your dad. Your most important relationship you have is that of your parents. I'll say this. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with your parents. I'll say it again. You can't be right with God and wrong with your parents. So that means no matter what I would have preached today, if you don't have a great relationship with your mom and dad, then you're simply not right with the Lord. You may go Sunday school, you may go soul winning, you may work on a bus route, you may read your Bible and have devotions every morning, but I'm telling you, if you're not right with your parents, you're simply not right with the Lord. Now, I have parents that would come to me as youth pastors many times, and they would say, Brother Reno, you know, you say that, man, my son does this, and he volunteers for that, and man, he's really yes, sir, and no, sir, and all this, and my daughter, and you brag on them. But Brother Reno, hey, are we talking about the same kid here? Because really, when they get home, you know, I don't see what, here's what I want to say about that. I'm going to say, hey, if you got to choose between respect and authority and being obedient and serving the youth pastor or Sunday school teacher at church, or your mom and dad, forget us and go home and be respectful and honoring and serve your parents. But here's what I think. I don't think you have to choose. I think you can do both. I think you ought to do both. And in this verse, you have a wonderful opportunity. It's an opportunity you can take, or it's an opportunity you can pass up. You can take the opportunity and be a blessing to your parents, or you can pass it up and be a burden. You can take the opportunity and honor your mom and dad, or you can pass it up and be heaviness to them. You can take the opportunity and make them, or you can pass the opportunity up and break them. My testimony is this. I was 9 years old when my dad left our house and my mom and dad divorced. And there's nothing good about divorce except maybe one thing, and that is you get double Christmas presents, okay? Other than that, it stinks. I've seen some awful things. My dad used to be a police officer. Later he owned a store. He kept his revolver, kept his billy bat, nightstick, whatever you want to call it in the day. And in case somebody would break in the store, and I remember my dad, for spite, got behind on child support, alimony, or whatever, child support. And mom went in, waited for the crowd to die down, only one in the store. Said, Wayne, said, look, you know, it's rough. And you're not, you know, my dad had money, lots of money. But he just did it for spite. And so my mom asked for 3 or 4 weeks behind, and I remember my dad just in his pride and just anger or whatever, reach across the counter. And we were in there, me and my sister. I have one sister. And he smacked my mom. When he smacked her so hard, she almost fell to the ground. He literally reached under that counter and grabbed his billy bat. Jumped over the counter with so much hatred. And just like my mom was a criminal, took that billy bat and began to hit my mom. Hit my mom. I was 10 years old, 11 years old. Saw my dad begin to beat her violently. My mom had bruises, broken ribs, whiplash from her feet to her head. We went through, in those days, things were made out of glass instead of plastic, and we began to knock off ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise and trying to get dad to chase us because we were destroying stuff in the store to get him off mom. And finally, customers outside heard what was going on, and men came in and pulled him off. My mom could have filed, when mom and dad divorced, my mom said, I want one thing, Wayne, the two kids, that's it. My dad had 6 pieces of real estate, a big farm, a store, new cars. My mom said, one thing, I want the kids, that's it, 2 things, Teresa and Reno. My mom took us, back then we got $12.50 a week child support, $25 for 2 of us, nothing. And you know, I have to be honest, at that point when I saw my dad do that, I was mad at him anyway. But let me say I went way beyond mad that day. I hated my dad. Let me say this. I hated my dad's stinking guts. I hated him. You may look and say, well, you had a right to. I don't know if I did or not, but I'll tell you this. I'm just being honest. I'm being transparent. I hated his guts. Matter of fact, if I'd been big enough that day, hey, he wouldn't have done that to my mom. No, sir, he wouldn't have. But I'll tell you this. On April 6, 1977, most wonderful day of my life, I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I'll be honest with you, young people. I didn't go to a seminar. I didn't go to counseling. I just know when I got saved, immediately, I loved my dad. And I had all that bitterness and all that hatred. And I understand if you got to talk to somebody, that's okay. But I'm just simply saying, God just kind of gave me what we hear preach, the thought that, hey, if Jesus Christ just forgave you for every single thing you've ever done, and by the way, I had skeletons in my closet just like you. If Jesus Christ forgave you for everything you've ever done, then you need to forgive your dad for everything he's ever done. And I want to tell you, hey, you can either get bitter about what your parents have done to you and what you've been through. And I know these days there's some unbelievable things, maybe beyond that, that go on. Well, you can either get bitter or you can get better. I would choose to get better. You say, Brother Reno, how do you get better? Number one, don't let something like that, and I guarantee you, you'd be surprised even with church kids. I can ask the average church group like this, youth conference, to raise their hand if we're from a broken home, and 50%, I'm not usually, 50% or more, sometimes it will outweigh even the crowd, are from broken homes. I guarantee it would happen right here. Now, you hear me now. Hey, what you do is you look at the negative in your life, you look at that, how do you get better, not bitter? You look at that in the circumstances, and you let that motivate you and say, look, my dad made some mistakes, my mom made some mistakes, my dad never one time has thrown me a basketball. Not once. Not, you say, oh, come on, brother, you know, what? Never. I played basketball. My dad never threw me a football. I played football. I raced motocross 7 years. He's never come to one of my motocross races. I got married. He wasn't at my wedding. I graduated from college. He wasn't at graduation. I got two sons that's been married. He's never been to one of those weddings. Here's the thing. I don't look at that. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not bitter about that. I look at that and I just say this. By the grace of God, my sons are going to have a dad sitting at their wedding. They're going to have a dad sitting at their graduation. They play a ball. I've been at every ball game my sons have played. And by the way, all five have played high school varsity ball, 2 4-year of college each. My youngest son has had offers from U of L, Butler, IUPUI, and Bellarmine, a Division II school last year. Went to Bible college. He has those same offers to him this year, 6'7". And I'm telling you, I've been to every game he's ever been at. Every game he's ever been at, other than when I went in evangelism, I had to sit down and say, Brandon, you understand I travel now, a little different, but I'll tell you this, I'll take off for every tournament you have. Brother Capace was whacked out 1 year. He had 5 tournaments, 1 every week. I had to take off the whole month of February and the 1st of March, basically no love offering. You got to put food on the table as an evangelist. And it was a rough month, but guess what? I wouldn't change it for anything. Why? I was at my boys' tournaments. You say, why? Because I looked at that and let that motivate me and say, by the grace of God, hey, I'm just going to look at it and just say, God, you gave that my life to learn from, and I'm going to improve from it. Now, I don't hold that against my dad anymore. Dad one time with tears wept and said, son, forgive me. I said, Dad, you've been forgiven for years. I forgave you a long time ago, Dad, the day I got saved. And I just want to tell you, hey, you have a wonderful opportunity. And by the way, let me say this. You ought to thank God. Let me say it again. You ought to thank God if you got a Christian mom and a Christian dad. Amen. You come from a Christian. By the way, I knew nothing about church, nothing about Christian education, and nothing about a good home. Nothing. All my boys know is hopefully a decent Christian home, Christian education, and all of them have lived their life around church. All 5 of them are serving the Lord. And can I tell you, hey, that's not by accident. And I'm just telling you, you ought to thank God if you have Christian parents. You really should. Now, how do you make or how do you break your parents? First of all, let me say this. You make them, by the way, it's very simple, and I need to hustle because of time. Number one, you make them in obedience, you break them in disobedience. Let me say that again. You make them in obedience, you break them in disobedience. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Nothing makes a parent more proud of you than when you obey. Now, when I think of obedience, I'm talking about several things. Number one, I'm talking about very simple here tonight in elementary school, but that's okay because sometimes we need to push reset buttons. I'm talking about, number one, obedience and answer. It would do good, just like they had some great hymns that may be back a few years that they've made beautiful and great. And by the way, that's what you need are songs that speak to the heart and draw your heart to God. And I want to say this, hey, it'd do good for us to push some reset buttons and go back and have obedience and answer. I'm talking yes, sir, no, sir. I'm talking yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'm talking please, thank you. You know, those type of things, not yeah, nah. You know, don't give your parents a one-word answer. I hate one-word answers. Sometimes it's a challenge if I get a one-word answer from a teenager or my son. I just sit down and put my arm around. I'm just going to keep talking until I get something else, you know. And here's the thing. Hey, you know, you ought to do that. I don't care if you're a single college student. I don't care if you're a senior hire. I don't care what junior hire. Keep it up. Don't get too cool to say yes, sir. Matter of fact, I know some of you, it's been quite a while, and sometimes, you know, when you have trouble speaking, you kind of go to speech therapy. I'm not making fun of people that stutter. It's just a fact. Some people stutter. And I know for some of you, instead of, yeah, whatever, you know, to say yes, sir, it would kind of maybe, I would need to help you a little bit. Kind of, it would maybe be at first be like, yes, sir. And it'd come out. But I think you could do it. I mean, I really think you can. So let's try it. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to repeat after me. Okay, here we go. Ready? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Whoa, that was pretty good. Let's try it again. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Now, here's the thing. What a delightful word. Come on now. Please. How could you even say please without smiling? Really? That's a great word. So let's try it. Ready? Please.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now see, hey, you didn't die. You did it. You survived it. Obedience and answer. And you know what the problem is? Some of you throw a fit, you go up your room and slam the door. Man, don't ever do that. Never say, I hate you. Never say that. Never say you hate your parents. No, I don't care. Never say it. If you do, go apologize immediately. Mom, what, Dad, what's that thinking? And you know, the problem is we just don't think. And by the way, that's why a youth conference like this is so beneficial. It gives us time to come apart from the world and all the influences that are negative and say, look, let's get our focus back. Let's think. Man, my mom and dad are the greatest people, really, and I know we have. And by the way, you're going to butt heads. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect teenager. You have to iron your wrinkles out and stuff, but that's what building relationships is about. And so, you know, sometimes you get in a habit. You get in a habit of no, sir, or no, yes, sir, and nah, and yeah, or, you know, and you get in that bad habit. And man, you know, you can change a bad habit. You really can. I remember, now I have to confess my sin here. Pastor may not have me back after this, but you understand I was unsaved. But I grew up, the longest running TV show, especially with country music, and my dad was into country music. So this was before my mom and dad divorced, so I was 9 or under. And that ran was a show called Hee Haw. On Hee Haw, every country music star in the world appeared on there that was anybody that was known for anything. And they wanted to be on there. Well, it was a lot of humor, it was a lot of music, and honestly, I was under 9, so I didn't understand it, but there was a lot of good-looking girls that at that time I didn't understand, kind of in their Daisy Dukes and all that, and I wouldn't recommend watching. I'm not endorsing Hee Haw. Get me on that, okay? But I'm saying I watched it when I was a kid because it was funny. My dad put me in front of the TV, and there it was. Now, anyway, they had a thing with Archie and his barbershop or something, and he would tell these jokes, and they would just kind of, you know, rattle off stuff in the barbershop, and I remember a couple stories they had. They had one about the story of Cinderella, but they called it Rindercella. And I remember hearing that. And I remember another one, just one that your parents have told you growing up, you know, the story of the three bears and Goldilocks and the three little pigs and that. And I remember one time that I was sitting there and I heard this story and I was so amazed by it. So literally, I'm telling you, I didn't make this up to use in a preaching. I'm just telling you, when I was 7 or 8 or somewhere around there, I heard it and began to work on it. And so I don't have to look at notes or think about it. I'm just warped. This is natural. For example, you've heard the story of the three little pigs. Okay, here it is. Once upon a time, there were three piddlegs. And Papa Pig said to the first piddleleg, you got to go out and hind your own fouse. So the first piddleleg came upon a man wide and a ragged and said, sir, will you sell me some hicks to build me a stouse? He said, sure. So he built a hick stouse. Along came the big wad wolf and said, piddleleg, piddleleg, let me in. He said, no, not by the chair, my henny, hen, hen. He said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll hold your blouse down. So he huffed and he puffed and he hold his blouse down. So then came the second piddleleg upon a man wide and a ragged and said, sir, will you sell me some haw to build me a strouse? He said, sure. So he built a haw strouse. Along came the big wad wolf and said, piddleleg, piddleleg, let me in. He said, no, not by the chair, my henny, hen, hen. He said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll hold your blouse down. By the way, if you're a deaf interpreter here, I always like to watch them when I'm doing that. And I'll hold your blouse down. And so he huffed and he puffed and he couldn't hold it, and he held his blouse down. So then came the third piddleleg upon a man wide and ragged and said, sir, will you sell me some hicks so I can build me a brouse? He said, sure. So he built a hick brouse. Along came the big wad wolf and said, piddleleg, piddleleg, let me in. He said, no, not by the chair, my henny, hen, hen. He said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll hold your blouse down. But he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but he couldn't hold his blouse down because he had a hick brouse. So he said, I got an idea. I'll just chime down the chimney. But what he didn't know was the three piddlelegs put on a pan of white hotter. When he went to chime down the chimney, he fell into white hotter and he burned up, and the three piddlelegs lived happily ever after. Whew! Now watch this. Watch this. I'm going to tell it to you the right way. I promise I'm not exaggerating. I got to get up for it, man. You know how you got to get up for it? You got to get your A game, you know, you got to get your game face on. All right, here we go. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And Mama Pig said to the first little, I feel like a first grader right now, said to the first little pig, you have to go out and find your own house. So the first little pig came up on a man riding a wagon and said, sir, will you sell me some sticks to build me a house? He said, sure. So he built a stick house. Along came the big bad wolf and said, my brain is like, the cogs are like, why? Because I learned it the wrong way. Now here's the thing. I can tell it the right way, but I learned it wrong so long ago that to tell it the right way, it takes a focused, concentrated effort. Here's what I'm asking you. Just start focusing on your parents. Make a concentrated effort to say, yes, sir. So you can do it. You just got to make a concentrated. See, the thing is, sometimes we just don't care. We just don't care. Make a concentrated effort and to say, yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and I love you, and please, and thank you. Obedience and answer. Not only that, obedience and attitude. You know, obedience, oh man, attitude is 95% of life, and obedience is doing what you're supposed to do with the right heart's attitude. Of course, we've all heard that. But obedience and attitude. Attitude is so, so important, and you need to have the right attitude. You know, God gave your parents for protection, for correction, and for direction. Let me say that again. God gave you your parents for correction, for protection, and for direction. Now, here's your part. Cooperation. Matter of fact, notice the key in this. It says, a wise son makes a glad father. Notice this. It didn't say a wise father makes a glad son. It didn't say a wise mother makes a glad daughter. God says, okay, there's a lot of responsibilities, protection, correction, direction. But God says, hey, there's one thing where I'm throwing the ball in your court, young lady. Hey, boy, there's one thing I'm throwing the ball in your court. You want to play ball? Here you go. Want to play ball with life? Real life now. Here we go. A wise son, wise daughter makes a glad father or mother. Key word there is glad. Glad. In other words, this, atmosphere. You don't like the atmosphere of your home? You know, you say, well, I come home, and sometimes it's like World War II, or it's just that. God says, hey, you can change that atmosphere. I've seen it before where we've had great days. Me and my wife come home. I come home from the ministry, she whatever, and, you know, it can be great, and the kids can be like, rah, and all of a sudden, phew, downhill. Another thing, I can have a rough day and come home, and the boys kind of be just really in there and kind of lift my spirits or whatever, and buddy, they can just turn the thing around. So, hey, a lot of the atmosphere of home is dependent upon how you are and that type of thing. Then how about this, obedience and authority? Obedience and answer, obedience and attitude, obedience and authority. Don't go with that guy. Don't go with that girl. He's trouble. Stay away. Hey, don't go anywhere without permission. If you leave, go. Leave a note at these approved places I said. Or if they let you have a cell phone, text me if you're going to be here or there. Let me know. Just don't leave home. Be home on time. Those type things. And many times we just go and we don't think about it. And you know, we really need to have that obedience in authority. We really do. I remember my son David, his best friend Josh came over, and we lived on a hill, kind of a mountain over here, and our neighbors lived over here. We had dirt bikes. I mean, we've had garage fulls of dirt bikes through the years because I used to race. And my boys have all ridden, and my neighbors, they had a full court basketball going up, even up in the woods, up on these hills. And then there was a road down here called Bud Road. And then another hill, that road went through the valley over there. And the Pagets, they were into go-karts and big dune buggies with big knobbies. And they were all Christian, all three families. And so David and them, they would all go over there and hang out and play basketball. Then all come to my garage and raid the dirt bikes. Then we'd all go to the Pagets and raid the dune buggies and stuff. Well, it ended up that Josh Paget came over and he pulled up in the garage and said, hey, David, come with me. Dad just cut all these new trails and put in some jumps with his tractor, and it's going to be awesome. You know, come on over. Let's go. And so Carla was outside, and David just presumed to be okay, and he jumped in the seat. It was a two-seater, and they were getting ready to leave and said, hey, Mom, I'll be back, just without asking, just kind of telling her, I'll be back. Josh, he's got some new trails. And she just, for some reason, she said, no, David, no. Mom, come on over here. He said, no, David, get out. No, I don't think. But Mom, what? She said, David, get out. So, sorry, Josh. Josh took off. Sometimes as parents, we can tell you no and tell you why. We can give you a Bible reason. We can give you a logical reason. But sometimes we don't know. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. Mothers are spooky. Girls are spooky people. I'm telling you, they're like God. I'm telling you, they got this sense, another sense or something. And you just better listen to your mom. My mom said, Reno, if I buy you a dirt bike, she goes, you'll break your leg. She didn't say break your neck. She didn't say break your wrist. She said break your leg. First season I raced, guess what I broke? That leg. Every bone in it had a cast up there for 8 months. Moms, they're like that. You know, she says, David, don't go. Josh leaves. He goes over through the trails to White's because we live on a hill. We all have to snake our driveways to get up the hill. He goes down that curves like that. Then a straight shot at the end. His brake cable breaks. He shoots down that drive off that steep drive. No brakes. A triaxle dump truck's coming down through there. He has no helmet on. He has roll bars. He shoots literally between the two axles of that dump truck. And that rear end took that cage and just wadded him up and just spit him, his body, and that go-kart wrapped around him. out behind that dump truck. Josh didn't die. He almost died. They had to cut a piece of his skull off so his brain could swell out. Later put it back. My son, David's 28. Josh is 28. David's a Christian school principal, very sharp young man. Josh speaks about like a 12 or 13-year-old. Tried to get his driver's license 4 different times. He can't get it. You know, sometimes David would have been in that go-kart. Sometimes mom says no. Dad says no. You don't always have to have an answer. Obedience and authority. And then what about this? Obedience in all things. Obedience in all things. You know, boy, I tell you, time's killing me. I need to be done. And I'm really just here on point one. Let me just skip that and go on. Let me say this. Number one, you make an obedience. Number two, let me say this. You break them in a disobedience. And number two, you make them in honor. You break them in dishonor. You make them in honor. You break them in dishonor. And honestly, I had a couple stories that were a little bit funny that tied to the truth. You know what? I think we got a good enough crowd here that you're listening well enough, you're attentive well enough, like you're wanting to get something, that I think that's why I moved on. So I hope you'll listen. You know, honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 5:16 that if you'll honor your mom and dad, it will go well with thee and you'll have prolonged life. And I think all of us would take all the days on the earth that the Lord would give us. But sometimes teenagers say, you know, well, Brother Reno, hey, come on, you said a while ago, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, Brother Reno, you're at a youth conference, you know, children, obey, you know, maybe you should be speaking in junior church, Brother Reno. I mean, children, obey your parents. Come on, give us a break. We learned that in elementary school. You know, hey, Brother Reno, in that kind of elementary, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say this. Obedience is elementary. So let's go to a graduate course. Let's go to honor. You're a big boy. You're a big girl. I agree. You're seniors. You're junior hires. You're 10th graders. What about honor? So if you're a big enough young man and a big enough young lady, let's raise the bar. Let's go to honor. Let's quit just obeying. Hey, when I think of honor, I think of this statement. Would you honor their request? Would you honor his request? In other words, it's not a command anymore. It's not do this and you obey. It's more just listening for mom saying something or listening for dad. Man, I wish I had that corner of the garage cleaned out. Or man, I wish I had time to vacuum the basement. Boy, the dishes are stacked. And all of a sudden you just jump on it and you honor them, their request. When I think of honor, I think of bringing somebody up maybe for years of service and giving them a trophy, giving them an award, giving them a trip. You give them something because you're honoring them. You give them that award. You give them that trophy. Can I? Hey, let me say this. Hey, young ladies, you be their trophy. Hey, young man, you be your mom and dad's trophy. You be their trophy. That's the way you honor them. I think of my son, Mark. Mark is Jordan's, probably his best friend. Mark was in Jordan's wedding. Jordan was getting ready to be in Mark's wedding. Mark got me this card. He got me this card, too. This is crazy. I love basketball. I've been in 8 Final Fours. That should say enough. I'm a fanatic. But I put the Lord first. But I have a good time with the Lord at Final Fours. So anyway, I love Dickie V. I mean, how can you not like, you either love him or hate him. How can you not love him, though? The guy is, he's like Eric Capasio on steroids, you know. Anyway, it says, if being a dad, he got me this for Father's Day. It says, if being a dad were a sport, you'd be the game's biggest legend. Here's what I like.
Hey, when it comes to scoring points as a dad, you're a dipsy-doo dunkaroo. They don't make them like you.
Here, turn that up just a little bit more. You got it? Here we go.
Hey, when it comes to scoring points as a dad, you're a dipsy-doo dunkaroo. They don't make them like you anymore, baby. Talk about being admired, respected, and loved. You're awesome, baby. When I watch you in action, all I can say is, what a performance.
I love Mickey D, man. That's great, you know. So he got me that card, but you know, he got me this other card. It says, you know, some cards, you know, I don't know if you're the kind of person who just goes in and grabs one or you give a lot of thought. But when I read the front of this, it made me think, I don't think Mark just grabbed this one this day. It spoke to my heart. It moved my heart just reading the outside. And normally a card don't. Then I opened it up and it says, Dad, I looked at many cards for Father's Day, but this one seemed to be so true. I've read this card so many times and wore it out. Can I tell you that just a 2-minute note from you guys to a mom and a dad makes our week? Just 2 minutes. Just on a 3x5 card. Just that you thought about your mom or your dad. It just makes our week. It means so much. Though I did not always understand why I could not talk to this person or go there or do that, I understand now. I may not have always appreciated it, but I could not say enough thank yous now. Now more than ever, I realize how much you protected me and provided for me for the past 18 years. I want to thank you for being the right kind of dad, for loving me, and for being there for me. I'm sure I will need you even more in the future. I love you. Happy Father's Day, Mark. That's just one card from one of my sons. But can I tell you, now if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to hear something. And don't you forget this. Your parents are a gift. Let me say it again. Your parents are a gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and there's no shadow of variableness or shadow of turning. And I want to tell you, the greatest gift that God ever gave you, other than Jesus Christ, His Son, the greatest gift He ever gave you, humanly speaking, is your mom and your dad. Don't look at a present or a gift and just push it aside and take it for granted or let it lose its value or your appreciation for it. Your parents are a gift. Now, if I was talking to your parents, which I do many times, I'll say, parents, you hear me? Your children are a gift. Your children are a gift. Because it's true. We're the greatest gift to each other we have. A family. A family. And your parents are a gift. I remember we had a thing called the world's most expensive youth activity. And Brother Aaron, this was back in the day, 15 years ago. That night, that one Friday night, cost $3,500 for youth activity. You know what it was called? It's the most expensive youth activity I've ever done or ever will do. $3,500 15 years ago, it was a parent teen banquet. God gave me the idea to have a parent teen banquet, to blow it out. We rented 3 charter buses, Cadillac buses come in, dust, fog lights on, red carpet out, told moms and dads, take off work, don't miss it. Told the kids that their parents aren't going to pay one copper penny. We're going to raise money for their mom's meal, their dad's meal, their meal. We flew Steve Robertson in, paid his love offering, paid his travel expense. Teenagers raised it all, went to Stone Hearth. Oh, I shouldn't even say this stuff. We had jumbo shrimp. Oh, yeah. We had filet mignon. That sounded good right now, better than hot dogs, isn't it? And we had a prime rib. And man, I'm telling you, blew it out. And we got up there and had a banner because of my parents. And I remember Steve Robertson, before he got up, I got up and said, hey, has anybody got a testimony? Boy, old Luke Kendall stood up. He began, he was a senior. He began to say, I just want to thank God for my mom and dad and so forth. Before you know it, he started crying, man, my mom. And boy, he's all snotting and everything. Reached down, get his food napkin, starts blowing his nose. Debbie Manley stands up. Preacher's daughter starts weeping and crying. Laura stands up. This one stands up. Before you know it, everybody's slinging snot like camp and crying and stuff going in their food. You know, it's nasty and everything. And boy, Brother Steve gets up here in his country way and says, man. He said, y'all done flew me in here from North Carolina. We done had revival. I'm going home, you know. And we did. It was great, you know. And I wrote a poem, and it says this. And it's because of my parents when I really get mad. They deny me the things I thought I should have. It's because of my parents when I am depressed, and they always say, we look out for your best. It's because of my parents. They don't understand. The rope just gets tight around both of my hands. It's because of my parents. I lost a good friend. They said, that guy's trouble. He'll lead you to sin. It's because of my parents that I have no money. They expect me to work. Huh, that's really funny. It's because of my parents that I have no car. They walked a half mile to school. Wow, that's so far. It's because of my parents I never have fun to be home by 10:30. I'm always on the run. Some teenagers really think these things to be true, but all this is done because your parents love you. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, for He is a way. Then look at your parents, and here's what you'll say. It's because of my parents that I really am glad. They give me the things the Lord knows I should have. It's because of my parents looking out for my best that when temptation comes, I pass a test. It's because of my parents holding both of my hands, they kept me from trouble. They do understand. It's because of my parents, I'm not living in sin. That guy who was bad was almost my friend. It's because of my parents, I have character and work. I get things I need instead of being a jerk. It's because of my parents, I drive my own car. That half-watt mile to school would seem awfully far. It's because of my parents and God's precious Son that being part of my family really is fun. When I study the Bible and follow His Word, I find obeying my parents is obeying the Lord. And let me say this, young people. That note thing, hey, do something. Show your parents. Let me say, show your parents you love them. Tell your parents you love them. And prove to your parents you love them. Show them you love them by girls. Hey, slip little notes in your dad's pants before he goes out the door. Do it the night before. Slip them in his lunchbox. Hey, Guys, go and punch your dad in the shoulder. Now, if he's real big, be careful. You know, my boy's 6'7". I said, Brandon, stand up. I want to talk to you. I'm like, never mind, sit down. And, you know, and so, but go up and punch him in the shoulders. Hey, dad, you know, hey, dad, you're ugly. You know, I mean, out of respect, it's respectful. You know, just let them know. You know, you don't, and he's, well, I'm not, get that tight. Tell them you love them. You know, do something for them. Hey, you know, love unexpressed is sometimes love unknown. You may say, well, they never say, you initiated. I didn't hear my dad say he loved me for years after the divorce. You initiated. I initiated it. I prayed about it. And finally, I get it back all the time now. All the time. Hey, you initiate it. Tell them you love them. Show them you love them. And let me say this. Prove to them you love them. Hey, they gave you a life. You give them a legacy for the Lord. Say it again. They gave you a life. You leave them a legacy for the Lord. And the final thing I want to say is this. You make them by being Christ-like, and you break them by being carnal. You make them by being Christ-like. You break them by being carnal. Now, we have parents, we have kids here that have parents that are unsaved. We have kids here, teenagers here, that your parents are saved but not serving. They're not in church. We have kids here that have parents that are in church and they're saved and they love the Lord and they're faithful. Let me tell you this, I don't matter which three groups, every one of those groups, in your parents' heart of hearts, look at me, hey, in your parents' heart of hearts, they really do want you to do right and love the Lord and serve the Lord. Not only do parents influence teenagers, I've seen teenagers influence parents. I've heard parents tell me, Brother Eno, I came home, I'm tired, it's Wednesday night, didn't want to go to midweek, but Chris stayed on me and stayed on me and stayed on me week after week, and now we're just at church all the time. Because his son said, Dad, come on, we got to go. I remember a lady saying, Brother Eno, it'd be 10 o'clock at night, every night. I walked by my daughter's bedroom, the door was cracked. She would either be on her knees praying or on the side of her Bible by the lamp, or side of her bed reading her Bible by the lamp. And God would convict me and say, it's 10 o'clock p.m. and you've not even given me a thought yet today. That mom says, because of my daughter's testimony, I have a faithful walk with the Lord. I've seen teenagers influence her mom and dad. I ought to be in hell burning in the lake of fire. There's nothing good about Reno Likens except one thing. Jesus Christ lives in my heart. And because of that, my mom said this. I saw something real. I was a typical teenager in the 70s. I raced motocross. If you watch extreme games, look at the extreme crowd. Ricky Carmichael, Brian Deegan, all those guys. I was right there in the middle of that extreme crowd. I had hair. I see these guys play football and they have hair hanging out of their helmet that far. I say, that's ridiculous. We forget where we come from. My hair used to hang out of my helmet that far. I was a typical teenager in the 70s. I drove a 69 Camaro, had four motocross bikes and a wheelie bike. You know, thought I was bad, had a Camaro, I was going to name it Bad Company. You know, thought I was cool. But then I got saved and I found out what living really was about. And my mom saw a difference in my life. And she said, I wanted what my son had, and that was Jesus Christ. Long story short, and I'm done, that's this. My mom served mixed drinks in a lounge for 7 years. She was a cocktail waitress. My mom would say, do you want a vodka Collins? Do you want a Bloody Mary? Do you want a screwdriver? I said, what's broke? I'll fix it. If you don't know what those are, that's good that you don't, okay? But they're alcoholic beverages. My mom did that for 7 years. My mom was unsaved. My dad was very, very backslidden, but proved to me later that he, in fact, was saved, just way away from the Lord. I prayed for my dad for 30 years. I've been saved 33. 30 years, never took him off my prayer list. For 3 solid years now, he's been in church faithfully all the time. Took 30 years. My mom, though, within 1 year, got saved, was going to come get baptized, and said, when's the next available night? My youth director said, well, Wednesday. The lady there knew my mom, said, well, she can't. She works Wednesday. And my mom says, right there, just got saved. Well, I can't work there anymore, can I? Boy, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, yeah, that's salvation right there. My mom was a cocktail waitress for 7 years. My mom ended up becoming the bus captain, later on the preacher's secretary, later on moved to the church where I was. My mom was a head youth conference cook. Brother Jeff knows that's true. We ran 2,000 at our youth conference. We had 11 meals all on campus. That means my mom was responsible for 3 days and three nights preparing 22,000 meals in 3 days and three nights. She did that for 23 years. Now, it grew into that the last 5 years. My mom has been blessed. My mom recently, she's up in years, she's a past 70 now. My mom just got, she did home health care for this lady for 23 years. The lady passed away. I preached the funeral, and her son called us aside and said, I want to say this with you here, Reno. Your mom's been a blessing to me. The Lord sent her in our life to take care of my mom. I wanted to move her in my house. Couldn't. Mom wouldn't live in her house. Your mom did that for 23 years. Your mom's been such a blessing. I want her to pick out any house she wants, any condo she wants, and I'll pay cash for it. I thought, come on. 6 months later, we found the condo. Mom wanted a condo. He came up, took cash money, closed the deal just like that. So let's go to Lowe's. Went to Lowe's, said, get all new appliances. I said, man, she's got great appliances. It's not that old of a condo. No, I want to have all new appliances. He goes, get a professional painter, paint everything custom colors, get closet concepts, do her closets every way she wants. He goes, I've got her insurance, I've got her taxes, I got her water, I got her septic, the rest of her life. That's better than a tip as a cocktail waitress. That's what Jesus Christ would do for you, brother. Hey, Jesus tips big compared to a little bar tip. Let me tell you that for sure. All that to say this. Hey, you make your parents by being Christ-like. Some of you teenagers in here have lost parents, and you, well, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell. Let me tell you why you ought to live for the Lord. It's a lost and dark and dying world out there, and you're the only light that shines, and your parents are looking at you, and you're not going to make them Christ-like, or they're not going to get saved when you're testy. They're going to get saved because you're a testimony. They're not going to get saved because you're rebellious. They're going to get saved because you're trying to live a righteous life, because your parents are looking at you, and the only Jesus they see is in you. You're the one responsible for your parents' salvation. And let me say this, if you're saved, heavy hangs over your head. If you have Christian parents, you just turn out however. Hey, I'm asking you this, will you stand in the gap for your mom and dad that are lost and pray that God will save them? Will you stand for your family name? I tell my boys, the most important name you have is Christian, but right behind that, is that last name. Not the likeness of somebody, but that's your name. And it took me a lifetime with the grace of God and His help to change what people thought of that name. And by the way, that's your parents too. You've been handed a heritage or a legacy somehow. Stand for that name, that Christian name. And let me say this. If you don't, I promise one place you will stand. I promise you. I don't know. Hopefully this will hold me. There is one place you will stand one day. It'll be right here. About right here. There's going to be a casket. You're going to come by. Matter of fact, everybody's going to leave. You're going to be sitting on the front. It'll be family viewing time. You're going to be like my wife, who her dad went to heaven prematurely with cancer. And she cried and she said, Reno, she goes, I know I wasn't perfect, but I hope I pleased my dad. She's a preacher's wife. She's doing pretty good. She's one of the best Christians I know. She said, but you know what? She goes, I don't have any regrets. I think my dad would be pleased with the way that I'm serving the Lord right now. And one day you're going to stand here. You're going to stand before your dad. You're going to stand before your mom. And you're going to do it with a huge amount of regrets. Or either lots of, you're sad they're gone, but rejoicing in your heart that you made them, that you didn't break them and send them there early. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it's going to be simple and quick. Just let me ask you. I'm not going to rehash the message. Who just say this? Brother Reno, God in heaven, God Almighty, spoke to my heart about something you said that I'm way behind or I need to catch up or reset or make right with my parents. And not them, I'm just raising my hand saying He spoke to me. I'm going to say I love you. I'm going to do some of those things. I'm going to make my relationship better with my mom and dad as a result. Pray for me. Let me see your hand. Come on. Be honest. Come on. I realize my mom and dad are the greatest gift I have. Let's pray. Father, seal these decisions. Help the young people to remember them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a great message. Hope you thought about that. We're gonna break for just a few minutes. Now, when we break, we need to make sure that we come back in as soon as you hear me up here at the mic so we can get the next session started. One more challenge from God's Word, a few more things that we're going to do that are fun here, and we'll close out our day with this last session. What we do want to make available to everybody, our church is making sure that they're recording every one of the messages that Brother Reno is preaching. If you would like to get one of those afterwards, we're going to have a little sheet.